All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of You Need Therapy podcast. My name is Kat. I'm the host and happy you're here. So before we get started, two things. One, this is not therapy, although I'm a therapist. And I know you guys are probably like, yeah, we know Kat, but I have to just remind everybody all the time because we always have new listeners and sometimes we forget. We just get really into content and we feel like we're in a therapy session and we just need a reminder. The other thing is, if you're like, Kat, why do you sound like that? I have a cold. And so we're just going to do the best we can and we're going to power through and we're going to pretend like I sound normal. Cool. Okay. Now, today we have a guest who's been on, you've been on twice. Mm-hmm. We have Crystal Lunenschloss, which did I say it right?
Nice.
I practiced that. On for the third time. She is a certified eating disorder registered dietitian, which is a big deal if you're unfamiliar with what that means. She's not just a registered dietitian that went to school and then did whatever internship and passed the whatever test. She did all of that. And then she also did a lot of work to get a special credentials that are specific to eating disorders. So when I say listen to the experts, because you know I talk about that all the time, which we're going to talk about that today, Crystal is an expert, what I would say. So welcome.
Thank you.
And before we get going, I want to put some full disclosure out there for you guys that I've done some episodes like this before, and I think I've said similar things. I have some what we would call anxiety, hesitation in doing this episode and talking about this, which is kind of frustrating because we're talking about something that I and Crystal have a lot of experience and expert knowledge in, and this is literally what we do all day. At the same time, there's so much information and opinion and thoughts and ideas about what we're going to talk about out in the world right now. So I have hesitation because I know it is a touchy subject, I guess.
Yeah.
And one that people want to categorize in these black and white categories and use all or nothing thinking around. And part of what we're talking about today is that it's this whole realm is very gray. And we need to remember that when we're trying to figure out what we need. So if you guys are like, what is going on? You set this up very scary. We're gonna be talking about a couple things and we're gonna let the conversation kind of just like go where it needs to go too. But what we're gonna be talking about is like intuitive eating and some of the things that get a little bit confused out in interweb world. And we're gonna be talking about some parts of haze and some parts of diet culture and just all of that that just I see specifically and Crystal also sees just getting a little bit weird out there.
It's a little weird.
So if you haven't heard the episodes that she's been on, go back and listen to those because they're some of my favorite. And Crystal's somebody I've known since like 2012 or 2013.
Yeah.
So long since I was an intern and she was the dietitian at the treatment center that I interned at and then I worked at. And so I've known her for a long time. And I've known her since the beginning of me learning anything when it comes to eating disorders and all of this stuff. So she's been doing this for a very long time. She now owns her own practice, Horizon Nutrition Counseling, which is housed in the same building as Three Quartz Therapy. So I see her almost every day and we share a lot of clients and we talk about stuff a lot. And you're who I go to when I'm like, oh my gosh, help me understand this or help me find the right words to say or help me do whatever, because she literally is an expert. So
thank you, Catherine.
And she's a great mom and, you know, she has a life outside of work. She's one of those kind of people. Okay. So the reason I asked Crystal to originally come back on was because I was struggling figuring out how to communicate some of my thoughts around intuitive eating. Obviously, intuitive eating is a great thing. And it's more than just, I think, what I see flashed on the internet, which is like food freedom. Just eat what you want.
No guilt. Love food. A lot of positive.
Which isn't wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of positive, like, you know, the food freedom is part of intuitive eating. And but that's kind of what we talked about as being like the most like the loudest one without really acknowledging all the other things that come along with intuitive eating.
Exactly. Yes. So we're seeing certain things, but we're not seeing other things. We're not seeing the other parts of intuitive eating. So I wanted to have a conversation of like, what are the things we're not seeing that actually make more sense? Because, and you can correct me, but it is very, very difficult for somebody who has never understood this concept and maybe even is coming from an eating disorder or disordered eating perspective to just grab onto this idea if intuitive eating was just about listening to your body and eating what you wanted. That can sound like a great idea, but a very hard concept to just jump into. And it causes a lot of chaos, I think, in the recovery process.
Right. Because many people are not ready for intuitive eating. When I am working with clients, that we don't start here many times because we're not ready. Because when you look at the principles, you have to have a good sense of body connection. You have to be connected to your body. You know, you have to have some level of hunger, satiety cues, listening, being able to listen to them. And so many people are not ready for that. And a lot of the bodies are malnourished, you know, so it's, we have to get the body back to a place of
no matter what your size
yourself.
Is too.
Exactly. Yeah. When I say malnourished, don't picture an underweight person. Yeah. You know, this is someone who may be eating the same things all the time, only like eating out all the time, restricting, then binging, and then restricting and just overact, like doing so many things that the body may feel in a physical crisis. So there's things that we, you know, we have to do on the front end before we even get to the intuitive eating part. And I think that's one of the things that is really hard for people who love the idea of intuitive eating, but their bodies just aren't ready for it yet because they don't trust in you yet.
Okay. So when you are working with those kind of clients, can you say, or can you give us a little bit of information around like, well, then where do they start? Like where might you start with them? Like, how do you start to build trust with somebody's body? Like you said, you have to be connected to your body. There's a level of trust there. How do you help guide somebody? You don't have to give us the full rundown, but how do you help guide somebody to start to connect to their body?
Everything is so individual. So we really have to figure out like how it was disconnected in the first place. So a lot of it is working on the behaviors around food, you know, like making sure you're fed consistently. Your body loves to feel safe, and it feels safe by eating consistently and getting combinations of foods that signal to your brain and that it is getting all the nutrients because it needs all the nutrients to do really important things in the body. So once the body is like in a fed place, a nourished place, then we can start listening for those hunger cues to come back and stopping eating when you're not, you know, if you don't have satiety cues and you don't know when to stop eating, well, intuitive eating is going to be really challenging, you know. So we have to really figure out like, how do we get that signal back and get your body communicating again?
And what I want to say to that is those processes don't mean that somebody's being put on a diet.
Right. No way.
At all. And I think that's something that gets confused of like, we don't want to put you on a diet. We're not pro-diet. We're very anti-diet. However, what Crystal's talking about is your body can't just like all of a sudden tell you what it needs and what it doesn't need and when it's good and when it's not doing good if you have disconnected it from giving you those signals for years or months or even maybe weeks. So you have to train your body back to that. And it's not a diet. It's like a scaffolding process. All right, so I'm glad we talked about that part. Now, I also want to take some time to talk about the parts of intuitive eating that we don't see as much out in the open on the internet. And they're just not talked about as much and they're not as popular because intuitive eating is not just eating what you want when you want it.
Right, because the other things that aren't talked about as much is the other side of honoring fullness, you know?
Yeah.
Not like coping with feelings with food. You know, that's a really hard one when we are challenged to feel our feelings and not medicate them with food. And then the one that we really want to talk about more today too is the gentle nutrition.
Well, hold on. Can I stop you for a second? Just because I want to highlight this, that Crystal's talking about something that isn't postured as much out in the open is this skill of learning how to identify when I'm emotionally hungry and when I'm actually physically hungry. And that's a tough skill to learn as well. And that takes time, that takes effort, that takes patience, and it takes learning other coping skills, because a lot of times I might say, I really want to go eat this, whatever, I'm craving this thing. But if I really sat back and I asked myself sometimes, why am I craving that? What's going on? Am I hungry? Am I this? What am I feeling? I might come to a conclusion that I'm like really hungry and I'm craving that. I also might come to the conclusion that like, oh my gosh, I feel really lonely, and whatever that I'm craving reminds me of the feelings of when I'm with a group of people and like warmness and friendship. But that's not what that is. So if I go to that thing, then I'm not actually getting what I'm needing, and I'm reinforcing that old set of beliefs and coping that that's going to actually help me, when really I might need to call a friend.
Exactly.
Now, what we're also going to talk about is something that like I never see this anywhere. And maybe I'm not looking for it, but I never see gentle nutrition talked about.
Gentle nutrition is the 10th principle of intuitive eating. It is the very last principle for a very good reason. And so the idea around gentle nutrition is also being able to choose foods and eat in a way that also is promoting a body that is disease-free, that is energetic, that is capable, and that feels good. And that is something that is really confusing for people when they're like, but wait a second, food freedom. I want to eat whatever I want whenever I want to. And when you also apply the 10th principle of gentle nutrition, that is where that idea of like moderation comes in. Because yes, like if food freedom means to you, like I'm going to eat like 6 donuts right now, I'm not going to feel bad about it because like I love all food. Amazing. And are you physically going to feel well after you do that? And I think that is where we were like, wait a second, but I should be able to do this.
But you have to be connected to your body.
Right.
So if I'm not connected to my body, I might be like, yeah, I feel great. But if I really was connected to my body and I ate, for me, it would be 6 crumble cookies, not 6 donuts. But if I ate 6 crumble cookies, if I was connected to my body, I probably wouldn't feel awesome.
Yeah. And the thing is that sometimes we do make mindful decisions to eat more, or that knowing like, I'm not going to feel great. Like
I want this.
But like, I'm genuinely lactose intolerant and I will still go to Dairy Queen with my kids and like get whatever I want and like pay for it later.
Yeah.
But I'm making that decision and I don't do that often because I know that like that just does not feel good to me.
But you do have the ability to say like every once in a while, this is an okay thing.
Yes.
And that's where I'm talking about in the beginning of like, we have to remember that this stuff is gray. It's not like you can never eat 6 crumble cookies ever in your life. Who knows? I might do that one day. Those cookies are very big.
And delicious.
They're so good. But that's not a thing that I do every single day of my life. And I know what I'm doing. I'm connected to that. Why do you think that this isn't talked about?
We are trying so hard to like fight this like diet culture, which is a great thing. And it's hard. A diet is quote unquote easy because you're being told exactly what to do, you know? And with intuitive eating, there's so much like, it's so open.
Autonomy.
It's
yeah.
that like, and everyone is so different. And so it's harder. And so when we can just focus on like, well, if I can just love all the food, you know, that's good for me, you know? And then the idea of bringing gentle nutrition feels kind of diety because you're like, well, wait a second. Like, you're telling me to eat a vegetable?
Yeah.
Like, that's very diet culture. Well, no, like vegetables like provide us vitamins and like, before diets, like vegetables were like part of like what we were
yeah,
doing.
Yeah. And that's what I was talking about with you earlier. I've talked about this a little bit. I don't know on here, but like with a lot of clients is that diet culture has hijacked things that like don't belong to diet culture, like vegetables. Like, for example, one of my favorite meals in Nashville is this kale salad from Burger Up. It's so freaking good. However, I feel like things like diet culture have like hijacked kale, where kale is this healthy, like, superfood. And so, like, if you're anti-diet culture, you're not going to go to Burger Up and get a kale salad. You're going to get a burger. But if I were to listen to what I wanted, I really love that salad. However, there's this idea behind it that, like, are you choosing that because you're influenced by diet culture and what you should eat? But if we really turn that around, then it's like that's backfiring because I'm being then pushed to get this burger when, like, maybe I don't actually want the burger.
Right. So part of gentle nutrition is the idea of authentic health,
yeah,
which is bringing in that, like, inner attunement of, like, I really want a burger, but also bringing in that external health knowledge of, like, well, and, like, if I eat these foods, you know, all the time, like, without incorporating more variety, like, that could physically be harmful, you know, and we can have some adverse, like, effects of that. And so, but then me saying that, it's like, well, how dare you? And that is the challenge of, like, what we're trying to navigate when we are trying to teach all food is good food. And we still have to make decisions that make sure that we are thriving.
And I just want to say this, because we talked about this before we started recording, is use the word moderation. I want to use that word. That word is not a bad word. But again, diet culture has hijacked it because, like, diet culture has created, like, eat in moderation, the 80-20 rule, like, this and that. And, like, so it feels diety when I'm like, well, all foods fit in moderation. That feels diety to me, but also it's not.
And moderation means something different to everyone.
Everybody, yeah.
That's why it is so individualized. But when you label it, all foods fit for everyone, and that means that I'm going to have all the food all the time. For some people, that might be okay. For other people, that might not be okay, because what that person is eating doesn't feel good in that other person's body, and vice versa. And so that person maybe needs more energy than you do. And that, you know, so, like, it's so individual based on your environment that you live in, your body, your genetics, like, everything. So you have to kind of turn it back to you into, like, what feels good to you and what is good for you.
Yeah. And I think that part of being in this anti-diet culture, pro-intuitive eating, is looking at the things that diet culture has taken from us and getting to redefine them in an intuitive eating place. So words like moderation, we were talking about the word calorie, how, like, yeah, the word calorie feels bad. But if we talk about what a calorie is, energy, we can say energy, but we can't say calorie. But, like, why? Mm-hmm. Or movement. And sometimes for some people, talking about exercise and movement can feel like a bad thing. But, like, can we take that back? Part of this process is taking those words back and redefining them in a place of safety within our bodies and food.
Right, because diet culture and the language people use on a very consistent, like, just in their normal conversation, they are talking about calories are bad. A calorie to people, for many people, equal weight gain, no matter what. And the goal is to eat as less calories as possible, even if there is no context of how many calories you need. The goal is, well, that piece of bread is 70 calories. That other piece of bread is 100 calories. I'm going to choose a 70 without any context of, like, well, this 100 calorie bread is probably going to have more nutrition for you, but, like, does not matter, you know? So we're not even considering, like, the nutritional value of things, but just more of, like, the least calories is the best. And then our bodies get into this, like, level of, like, malnourished state, which perpetuates cravings and feeling really out of control and chaotic around food, which reinforces that food is bad when in reality food has done nothing. It's inanimate. But what is going on is our behavior and the way we are viewing food. And that's the whole point of intuitive eating, is to really rewire the brain to not look at food as a threat, but to look at food as life-giving, and so that we can thrive.
Yeah, and I love that example, because I think a lot of people probably do that. I know in my history, I've looked at the nutrition facts of, or the calories of, not nutrition facts. I've just looked at the calories of breads, and I've chosen the one that is the least calories. But what I'm not also thinking is that piece of bread has more calories. It also has more energy. It also has more of this and more of this and more of this that actually is really great. So if we stop looking at a calorie as this bad thing that we need to like get rid of, and we start looking at it as like, oh, this is what gives us life.
And when you bring in the gentle nutrition, where we're looking at calories that are in each type of food, you're able to make food choices that you can have burgers and pizza, whatever you want. But you also know that, like, when I eat half of a pizza with nothing else with it, like, I feel sluggish the next day, or I am hungry within an hour, you know? And so if that is not working for you, then like that is where like the gentle nutrition comes in, where you're able to make food choices that feel good.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about there too is like, because again, you guys have to remember that nothing is black and white, and you're not going to be making these choices like perfectly all the time. Sometimes you might choose to eat half a pizza and like then feel sluggish the next day, and that's okay. And it's okay to also acknowledge that you don't want to feel sluggish every day. And that doesn't mean you're engaging in diet culture. That means, hey, maybe I need to add something into that meal next time.
Mm-hmm. I never say like, let's take this out. And we are constantly adding more in.
Yeah.
So instead of just having pizza, what else can we add to that meal? We're not saying, okay, well, you can only have one piece and then you have to have all these other things. No, I want you to have whatever you would want to have, but let's add more things to it. Because now you are boosting the nutritional value of your meal. So your body is getting more what it needs, and you're able to enjoy the pizza.
And if we're connecting to our bodies, this is a thought that I just had, and it's probably not revolutionary, but if we're connecting to our bodies, and let's just go with this example, and I feel sluggish the next day, maybe if we listen to that, that's saying, hey, Kat, you're missing something. Hey, Kat, you need something else in there. I don't have a lot of energy right now, or I feel really tired. You're missing something. And that is intuitive eating of like, oh, I'm not just eating what my like taste buds want all the time.
Right.
I'm also eating what my body wants.
Exactly.
What my body wants to be able to do what I want to do.
Yes. Yes. Man. That's good stuff.
Okay. And I do want to say, like, I have this anxiety about this conversation, because I know this is a hard subject to comprehend, and to, especially to have to listen to people talk about and then not ask, be able to ask questions. So I want to encourage you guys to hear what we're saying. Don't hear what we're not saying. And if there are questions, you can always email me and we can try to answer them on Couch Talks. But also you can, like, if you are working with a professional, ask that professional when you're with them to clear any confusion that might be coming up. Now, I kind of want to shift. I want to talk about HAZE for just a second. So if you're new to this, HAZE stands for Health at Every Size. And it is, again, just like intuitive eating, it is a good thing. At the same time, it can be misconstrued as well by interpretations, and also by well-meaning people who are putting content out in the world that confuses us. And I also think that, like, there are so many people out there that want help and want answers and want solutions. And so when we see something out there that, like, oh, this works for them, it's like, oh, we want to grab onto it and do it as well. So I kind of want to talk about what health at every size even means, and how sometimes it's being, again, like, diet culture is hijacking things from us that we need. HAZE is being hijacked by, honestly, it's being hijacked by a lot of things, but also it's being hijacked by, like, social media and, like, certain kinds of activists. It's being hijacked by, like, companies. It's being hijacked through marketing campaigns. It's being hijacked and almost exploited. And then it's being confused and misinterpreted. What we're going to do is we're going to read the actual definition of what it means from where it actually came from. So you're not even going to hear in this the interpretation of even Crystal, who's an expert in eating disorders.
So I am reading this from the Health at Every Size website. Health at Every Size principles help us advance social justice, create an inclusive and respectful community, and support people of all sizes in finding compassionate ways to take care of themselves.
I freaking love that.
Love it.
So I like that it is talking about destigmatizing and creating, like, social justice and equality around our bodies and the types of bodies we have and the sizes of our bodies and all of that. It's not saying anything else.
So the principles, they are around celebrating body diversity, honoring like differences in body sizes, ages, race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, and having like compassionate self-care. In this, it includes finding the joy in moving your body and being physically active and eating in a flexible and attuned manner that values pleasure and honors internal cues of hunger, satiety, appetite, while respecting the social conditions that frame eating options.
We could do a whole episode on this, and we're not going to do that today, but what I want you guys to hear is really what this is saying. It's giving us a framework to come towards each other as humans and as professionals, to treat all people the same without judgments. So here's an example. I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to use this example and you tell me if this fits. You're not a doctor either, but you know what I mean. So like, I'm a doctor and I have this client who is going into heart failure. Okay. So instead of just being like, well, this is your weight, because this person maybe is a certain, this is your weight, lose weight and this will go away. Right. That's what traditionally might happen. But health at every size is looking at a person who is one size and then looking at a person who is another size and treating the same way. So if this other client who's in a smaller body comes in and they're going to heart failure, are you going to also just automatically say it's because of your weight? No, you're going to say like, what's your lifestyle, or what's this, or what? You're going to ask them all these questions, right? And you're going to get to the bottom of that versus, yep, oh, just lose weight. Well, what does that mean?
So frustrating.
We just talked about calories. If you could lose weight eating a heart disease promoting diet.
Exactly. It's so frustrating.
Yes.
We could do a whole nother podcast on that frustration of the medical community.
Yeah. And that's not helpful. I really loved what one of our friends, Kayla, said one time when she was on the podcast. She said, health at every size and healthy at every size are very different things. And we've kind of put them together. And so we need to pay attention to like, and again, I think diet culture has hijacked the word health and healthy. We talked about that before we started recording. And so I just wanted to take a second to talk about that, because we need to actually look at what health at every size is versus how people are using it to like promote their brand or product or their lifestyle or their, because health at every size also means that what works for you isn't going to work for me. And we're going to have different lifestyles based on what kind of life we want to live.
Yeah. And it's the same with like bringing in health at every size principles and the intuitive eating part, where it's still promoting like, what do we need to take care of your body so that you feel empowered and capable and feel good and have a good relationship with food and your body.
So to wrap that up, what I was talking to Crystal about also before we started recording is like, we have these extreme views out there that we have like the Jillian Michaels type views that are like very strict in one way. And then we have these like super activist, well-meaning, I think both of these people aren't trying to hurt anybody. Then we have these well-meaning people over here that are, and that's fine too, but it's okay to like find some space in the middle that doesn't feel so extreme and so black and white.
Right. Because what it's still creating is a mold.
Yeah.
Because, and like I said, with diets, like everyone is supposed to do this type of diet, but that doesn't work. Everyone is so different. Everyone's different lifestyle. So how is that one way of doing it supposed to work for millions of people?
Yeah.
And that's why it doesn't. And so even taking all of these principles and putting them in a very like black and white frame, it still creates this mold of like, okay, well, I'm supposed to like love all this food and like just be able to eat it whenever I want to. But when it's not working for you, we get confused, you know, like, wait, but I'm supposed to be able to like go out to eat for every meal and like, you know, like feel good and like, you know, and like, cause it worked for that person.
But well, it might not
it
work
probably
for you.
Wasn't also working.
Yeah.
For them, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, but it's not what works for you because it doesn't feel good to you.
Yeah.
So this is where the intuitive eating, you really have to look at all of the principles together and not just pick out ones that
sound
the easiest and the most fun. Because that's just, it's just
more than that.
It's
more than that. And so, yeah, I think what I would just encourage you guys is to be curious about what you see and what you read and what you hear. Be curious. And just like I say to you guys all the time, don't grab onto everything like that I say as it's gold, because it might not be gold. I'm not always 100% right about everything. And I don't want anybody, including my clients, to ever think that, because we're all different and our brains are different. People are different. It's different. and passion is contagious. So like when you see somebody who's really all about one thing, it's like, well, I want that too. So I got to do that. And then we get confused why that doesn't work for us. So thanks for being here, Crystal. Yeah, thanks for walking through this very scary conversation. That shouldn't be scary. But I think that's maybe that's our own humanness and our own work that we have to do around like fear of being misunderstood. I know that's what it is for me. I have a big fear of like harming somebody by being misunderstood. And I never want this podcast to do that, even though it might.
Well, it's and like not being able to like have a dialogue yes. with people who have questions, you know, it's that's I think what makes it scary for me is that, you know, I can't respond to things. And so people can kind of take away things that
we didn't say. Yeah. So again, I will encourage you guys, if you have questions, send them to Catherine@youneedtherapypodcast.com. And if they're appropriate, we might be able to answer them on a Couch Talks. So that's all I got. I mean, we could sit here for 3 more hours, but that's all I got for now. So thanks for being here. And if you want to get in touch with Crystal, I'll put your stuff in the show notes, but do you want to shout out your Instagram, email, and website?
Yeah, Instagram is Horizon_NutritionCounseling. And if you want to email me directly, you can email info@horizonnutritioncounseling.com.
Can people work with you that don't live in Tennessee?
No.
Okay.
Unfortunately not.
All right. So if you live in Tennessee, if you don't
Or if you live in Colorado, I can because they don't have licensure there.
Oh, okay. Colorado and Tennessee. There you go. Go for
There's
it.
There's a couple other ones like
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. And I will talk to you guys on Wednesday for Couch Talks. Bye.